And today as we celebrate Christmas, we thank God that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and that the Lamb of God has in fact come to take away the sins of the world. Amen.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Many who do not recognize Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord still recognize Him as a great world-changing figure. But for those who bless Him as Savior and Lord, the celebration of Christmas is a source of great joy as, once again, we celebrate with the angelic host the arrival of the hope of all men, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who took on flesh to save His people from their sins. At the time, few noticed His coming. Nevertheless, the babe of the manger grew to become a man who changed everything. Join with us now as Pastor Brian Grant brings the first part of his message, Jesus Christ, the greatest life changer in history. Here now is Pastor Grant.
In December 2013, Time magazine published an article listing the 100 most significant people in human history. You may think you know who they are. The great French military commander, Emperor Napoleon Bonaparte, was ranked second. And that was followed at number three by, you can guess if you want to, but at number three was Muhammad, the Saudi Arabian-born religious leader who became the founder of Islam. He was ranked number three. Number four, I'm surprised, was one of the great playwrights in history, the renowned William Shakespeare. Following him at number five was America's most famous Civil War president, the celebrated Abraham Lincoln, with America's first president, George Washington, at number six. For the seventh most significant person in human history, Time magazine listed the brutal and murderous dictator Adolf Hitler, who ruled Germany during World War II. Most of us will agree that these individuals all made a significant impact on the world, and although some of them were good, some were evil, they were bad to the bone. So now you've heard numbers 2 through 7. Who do you think Time magazine picked? Who did they list as the most significant history changer? Who do you think was number one on the list of most significant people in human history? Take a guess. Some of you are getting it right, some are a little bit shaky. But Time magazine concluded that the most significant person in human history was Jesus, the baby boy that was born in a humble stable. Time magazine, the most famous news magazine in the entire world, at least got that one right. For no one can compare with Jesus. Am I right about that? For Jesus is not only the most significant person in history, He's God the Son, and He's the greatest life changer in history. My friend, Jesus deserves our worship. But the great imposter Satan desires that we worship him instead. Oh, I hope you realize that Satan is after our worship. And sadly, there are a lot of folks who are worshiping him today. He wants to be worshiped too. So when Jesus arrived as a baby in Bethlehem's manger, sometimes we miss this. Satan, do you remember what Satan did? Satan immediately tried to kill Jesus. And in case you missed that, jump with me to Matthew's Gospel chapter 2. I'm just giving this in passing. This is not where we're staying today. We're going to be pretty brief, though. But Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verse number 7, here's what it says. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, this is, of course, you know, the story where Jesus was born. Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me so that I may come and worship him also." Was that really what he wanted to do? Herod said, "Tell me where he is so I can come and worship him." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Verse number 12, then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. And to figure out what, so verse number 16, Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all the districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Can you imagine this? It's hard to imagine that people today would still choose to worship Satan. Satan was so scared that Jesus had come. Imagine, he had Herod. Think of all the dead babies. All these babies were brutally killed just because they were so afraid of Jesus. My friend, Jesus is special. Amen. His name is excellent. And so even before we go any further, I want to ask you, have you come to know this Jesus? Is he your Savior? Jesus Christ, Time Magazine said, he's the most significant person in human history. But I'm here to tell you, he's also the greatest life changer in history, and he wants to change your life today. If you don't know him, he wants to change your life. And if you're a Christian who is like taking it easy, you know, there are a lot of Christians who got saved, but they step through the gate, but they don't go any further. Do I have anybody here like that? You step through the door of salvation, but you're still a baby Christian. You haven't grown in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus. Jesus is the greatest life changer in history. And today, if you will submit your life to him, he can do marvelous things in your life. Today, I'll share with you just three things about this incredible life changer. Here's the first thing. And I want you to make some notes, because I am convinced that we need to do everything we can to guard ourselves. We are at war. And young people, unless you are properly prepared and you understand this holy book, Satan is going to knock you over. He's going to knock you on your behind if you don't know what you believe. It's not only good enough. It's not enough just to believe that Jesus died for your sin and to receive him. You had better come to know this book for yourself. Amen. So here's the first thing I want to talk to you about Jesus that I want you to grab. I want you to grab the importance. His divine preeminence. Put that in your notes. His divine preeminence. The Muslims have confused many Christians and others by claiming that although Jesus was a good prophet, he could not have been God. Anybody ever heard that? They said, Jesus is a good prophet. Oh, that's okay. But he was not God. So can we take a minute here to examine what the Bible teaches about the divinity of Christ? And so I have it here in the Gospel of John for a reason. So here's what the Gospel of John tells us in verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Here's the first thing, before you worry about who is the Word, because John is going to, later in this very chapter, he's going to tell you exactly who is the Word. But here's what he starts off by telling you, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was who? So he talked to me, preacher this morning. And the Word was what? The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Got it? So whenever in this text here, in John 1, wherever it says the Word, with Word capitalized, it's not talking about words on a page. It's talking about somebody who John calls the Word, who is God. But down in verse number 14, it tells us more about this Word. Verse 14 says, and the Word what? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This verse tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's why today we can celebrate, because the Word became flesh. Amen? The Word who is God, the Word who was God, He became flesh and He arrived on earth as a baby in a manger. Oh, we're going to see that in a moment. But then we need to go on. Because you might say, so who is this person? Okay. I'm not going to take your word for it that it's Jesus. So prove that to me from the Bible. That's a good thing. Be careful how we take people's opinion. Let them back it up with what God says. Even the preacher. Oh, if Pastor Brian can't back up whatever he's saying from the Word, you better not go with it, because that might just be my opinion. And too many people are listening to preachers and other so-called holy men tell you their opinion. You want to see it for yourself in this book. Am I right about that? So let's pick up at verse 15, and we're going to read to verse 18. The Gospel of John is written by the Apostle John, and the Apostle John is now telling you what John, as John, he doesn't say he is talking about John the Baptist. The Apostle John says, John the Baptist, and you'll see that as we continue, bore witness of him and cried out, saying, John the Baptist said, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the Buddha's bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. And in chapter 1, the Baptist is going to make it very clear who this Word is. But don't miss this. As John the Baptist bore witness, he used a phrase in verse 15 that's so important. I want you to add it to your notes. In verse number 15, he said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Did you get that? John the Baptist says, he who comes after me is preferred before me. So he's saying, as the person that he's going to point out is somebody who actually is younger than him. The person, the Word, actually arrived after me, but he's preferred before me, for he was before me. He said, Pastor Brian made that clear. You see, he's making it clear that as all the Word arrived in human flesh after him, the Word was before him, because the Word always was. John 1 tells us, in the beginning, what was the Word? The Word always was. I met you with me. Jesus, listen, the Son of God always existed. What happened when the Lord Jesus was born was his incarnation, when the Word took flesh. Hallelujah. So he who comes after me, John the Baptist was speaking about Jesus. He said, Pastor, that's your opinion. Point that out to me from Scripture. I hope you want to hold on to some of these verses, because we had better start knowing how to show that Jesus is God. Because sadly, too many Christians have no idea how to establish that, and people are eating us for lunch. The Muslims have it all wrapped up. Oh, I believe Jesus is God because the pastor said so. There's no reason to refer to me. The person I need to refer to is God and the Holy Book. Amen? So just remember that. And if after we're finished, you're still not clear, let's have a discussion. Amen? Let's have a discussion. He who comes after me. So look at verse 29. Remember now, you have just written in your notes a very important note. You wrote down, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Did you write that down? So look at what happens now in verse 29 of John chapter 1. The next day, John saw Jesus. John the Baptist sees Jesus coming. And he says what? Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And then he adds something. John the Baptist says, this is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. Are you getting it? John the Baptist has already told you who Jesus is. And now he says, as he sees Jesus coming, he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he says, this is the one, this is the one I was talking about. This is the one I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. Amen. Although, write this down, although John the Baptist was humanly older than Jesus, he knew he was face to face with the eternal Word, the one who was preferred before him, for he is the eternal God who made all things. Since the phrase, the Word, refers to Jesus, the second person in the Trinity, let me put verses 1 to 3 on the screen. Inserting the name Jesus wherever it states the Word. Wouldn't that be a nice thing? Since we now know the Word is Jesus, let's read John 1, 1 to 3, using the name Jesus. And it is my hope that as we read this and it saturates, we will lose all these questions as to who it was the Word talking about. In the beginning, let's read it together. Can we read it together? In the beginning was, and Jesus was with God. Why? For Jesus was God. Jesus was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Jesus. And without Jesus, nothing was made that was made. In Jesus was life. And the life was the light of men. And today, as we celebrate Christmas, we thank God that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and that the Lamb of God has in fact come to take away the sins of the world. Amen. First, his divine preexistence. But second, his glorious incarnation. Christmas is a very special time of the year, for it's the season to celebrate the birth of Jesus, the only person in history who was incarnated. Amen. As John 1:14 tells us, the Word became flesh. That's talking about the incarnation. Jesus became flesh. Amen. That's why we're here celebrating Christmas, the time when the Word, the one was with God. In the beginning was the Word, the one that was with God from the beginning, when He took on flesh. The Word became flesh. Today we celebrate His incarnation. Write this. The incarnation of Christ means that God, who is Spirit, took on humanity in the sinless body of Christ. God, who is Spirit, took on flesh, took on humanity in the sinless body of Christ. When Jesus arrived in Bethlehem that first Christmas, He came with a very focused mission. He came to save sinners from their sin. And no matter how badly tangled up in sin a person may be, Jesus is able to deliver them. Or perhaps you're here this morning, or you're watching the live stream. Listen, it doesn't matter whether you're here or you're watching. I just want you to know that Jesus is able to save sinners. The Apostle Paul used to kill Christians. What he wanted to say, that Jesus came to save sinners, of whom He was chief. Listen, whether you're a chief sinner or not, we were all born sinners. Am I right about that? We were all born sinners, and thank God, there is no sinner. This little song says, there has never been a sinner so far from God, but Jesus can bring them home. And my friend, I trust that this morning, if you're not sure where you stand with God, that you will settle the issue and come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Some people have a hard time believing that the Creator would take on humanity. Some people have a hard time with that. You realize that's one of the big sticking points. Why would God? In fact, you hear people argue that all the time. Haven't you heard it argued? Why would the infinite God become a human? Do you know that 700 years before Jesus was born? You see, the incarnation of Christ, what happened in the Gospels, is not anything that took God by surprise. It was well planned, and really, the reason why these wise men were able to come from far and find the baby Jesus is because they were studying the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament had actually told us it's just a matter you had to do some diligent searching. So write this down. Let's put this on the screen. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. Let me put it on the screen. Way back then, over 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah had prophesied, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel." Amen. God will give us a sign. A virgin. Who? Anybody ever comes to you and said, "I'm a virgin, but she's pregnant"? You have to figure out how that happened. Was it artificial insemination? Of course, now you can do all those stuff. But you got to be very careful now. There was a virgin birth. But can I tell you there's not going to be another one? Amen. Am I right about that? When Jesus arrived in Bethlehem, that first Christmas, He came with a very focused mission. He came to save sinners. Amen.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now. Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.